Chunk Chat Freestyle for Wednesday, May 27th, 2015. Hello and welcome to Freestyle. Freestyle is an audio blog of the things that happen in my life to me and my family, and hopefully you are involved in some way, shape, or form. This is totally separate from the other podcasts that I do. It is less production quality. The music you hear is a sampling from GarageBand. Most of the time I'm doing podcasts for this feed are done in August, because we have a now annual tradition, thanks to Craig Stepp, called the Dog Days of Podcasting. Look for more information on that coming in the upcoming weeks. But I haven't talked to you in quite some time, so I would like to catch you up on what's going on. In case you missed it on Facebook or Twitter or wherever you've been, we are still in the process of selling our house from Appleton. We moved to Phoenix last September. If you are a new listener, welcome aboard and sit back and catch up. This will take a few minutes. This will not be one of my regular short format shows. The Appleton house, we've had a few showings and things have been going slowly, let's say. We know that the market in that area, in Wisconsin, is generally March and April and May, because that's when families are looking to buy a house. They're shopping, and they want to close and move in the summertime when the kids are out of school. Makes sense. I get it. When we originally approached our realtor, we asked her to what it would take. We talked to her in February of 2014, and she said she would like to get it turned around in 60 days or so. And I said, we're probably not going to get everything painted and moved and cleaned and sorted and thrown out and sold and. If you want to know more about those details, you can go back to last August when we did the Dog Days of Podcasting. So the market kind of sat slowly. We did have a few showings around the Christmas time, and things picked up as expected in March. We had an offer, actually, and counter-offered, and they accepted our counter. They went ahead and did the inspection. We never saw the results of the inspection, only to find out a couple weeks later that their financing fell through. Usually, realtors get pre-approval on that kind of thing. So we were very disappointed. Our date of April 6th to close that fell flat. Did not work. Hang on. I'm going to see if I can get something better on the microphone. Yes? No? No? Okay. I am using my Bose noise-canceling headsets, so it's using the little lavalier microphone that's built into the wire. Not the best. I've gotten a little picky on audio quality since getting the studio upgrade with the new house. But we'll soldier on. This is a mobile recording with the iPhone 6 and the Bose headset. So better nothing. I mean, better this than nothing. So the close call in April did not follow through. We were very disappointed. We put the house back on the market. We were mostly disappointed because we missed about 2.5 weeks of showings. So lesson to self, and if you are ever selling a house, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Keep the house listed while you're doing your offers and whatnot. And we have done that again. So we left it showing. We got another offer. Beautiful offer. Well, not as beautiful as we would have liked, but good enough, we said. There wasn't anything crazy in there, like the seller will pay closing costs, which could be $3,000 or $4,000, and we decided to take it. Coincidentally, this was the day after we'd gone into the house on our visit to Michigan and Wisconsin. I'll talk about more about that in another show. But in the meantime, while we got that first offer, we started talking to a landscaper about some things we wanted to do in the backyard in Phoenix. Some repairs, some fix-ups, some changes, and that was a pricey offer. We needed the capital from the house, so because the offer fell through, we had to tell the landscaper to scale back efforts, and we did only what we absolutely needed to in the immediate fashion and said, if you do a good job here, we'll get you other business or we'll consider you for a larger scale effort. So we are back in selling mode. We have an offer, we accepted it, and we're very hopeful. We got the inspection. The inspection came in, a few minor electrical things that should be addressed this week to the tune of about $300, $350. Very minor stuff, One of them was a GFI that didn't trip when it was supposed to, the ground fault interrupter, so that you don't get a shock. It's kind of like a dual-purpose circuit breaker kind of thing. That very cheap and easy. We had a light fixture in the attic of the garage that was knocked off of its foundation, so there was a porcelain fixture to a box. Nobody has been up there, as far as I know, except maybe inspectors, since we moved out. I know it was intact. It was just dangling loose by the wire, so that was a handyman fix-it. If I'd known that when we were in Appleton, I could have fixed that, but unfortunately we didn't inspect that part while we were there. We just went around the basement, made sure lights were working, faucets were still working, toilets didn't have dry traps, that kind of thing. The circuit panel, the primary circuit panel, got some funny looks from the inspector. It said handyman wiring. Well, yes, me and my brother did a number of circuit additions when we finished up the lower level of the house back in the mid-90s. We added some circuits for lights and outlets and whatnot, and some of the wiring could have been more professional, shall we say. It wasn't thrown in there and run all over the place. We ran it down the sides of the circuit panel, and everything looked great, as far as I'm concerned. It was functional. When the panel is on, the panel looks fine. It works. And there was, I think, one extra ground wire that came out of the panel and went nowhere. It was connected to the bus bar. The two copper wires twisted together that stuck out. I believe they went to some old cable connection. But when we had the cable refitted a few years ago, because we had some leakage on bad fittings and couplers and whatnot, they ripped that out and replaced it with a couple of new pieces. Extra ground wires. We called the electrician. The electrician said, no problem, I can fix that up. So we're looking forward to having that done. If everything goes well, we will close on June 19th. Oops, sorry. Something happened to my microphone. Hey, you know what? I can hit that little lock icon, then I don't have to hold my thumb down. Even better. Okay, won't get a sore thumb for the next few minutes. Had a trip to San Diego, and we took the Mini Cooper. We purchased the Mini Cooper, as I mentioned, from Evo Terra and Sheila D. Took that to there and practiced a class that I would need to do for the Knowledge Conference, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. If you were listening to Dave Slusher's Evil Genius Chronicles from earlier in May, you'll get his full rundown of his experience at that conference. This is a user conference that we put together every year, and I had not delivered this content that I was expected to for several months, and it had gone through some revisions, so I wanted to practice this. We had some people internally who wanted to be trained. We used that opportunity to train them and shake out the bugs that the latest revision of this training program has had. It was a 3-day course. We were trying to cram it into two, so I drove out there. Things went swimmingly, and as I came back along Highway Interstate 8, is that it? I-8 from San Diego to, I think it runs into Tucson, but I take a turn at a place called Gila Bend so that I can jump up to the 10. It's a little highway between I-10 and I-8. I got pulled over, and I had had the cruise control set on 85 in a 75 zone for the last hour and a half, but right before Gila Bend, about 3 miles before the turnoff, a police officer stopped me. He said, "Do you know why I stopped you?" "Yes." "I suspect I was going a little fast." And he said, "I clocked you at 91. And I said, "I am stunned and surprised." He said, "But if everything checks out all right, I have no intention of giving you a citation." So he got the registration and the license and everything else, and everything checked out. He gave me a warning, let me go. And I said, "I am having this serviced," because we had planned on taking it to Michigan and Wisconsin, changed our plans later. Again, I'll get into that in a little bit, or next episode, or whenever that comes out. And said, "Look, I brought it in for service. It was going in for an oil change anyway." I said, "Please check the speedometer. I just got pulled over, and I don't want to have that again." Now, I later learned that anything over 84 in a 75 is criminal. So I am now changing my standards and not going 10 over the speed limit ever, 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 ever again. I'm going to keep it between 5 and 7 over and let the world do what the world wants to do. Very easy to do in a little red sports car with a turbocharger to go fast. And he probably saw that. Little red sports car going down the highway. Zoom! I call shenanigans because the service people did in fact check it out. They ran it parallel to another vehicle. They didn't have a radar gun of their own, but I think the police officer's radar gun is faulty. But when the police car has you pulled over on the side of the highway, you don't say, hey, want to try again? Because I think your computer equipment and your radar gun is crap. That's not a way to win friends and get out of a ticket. So, got out of that situation. I've changed my driving standards henceforth. A little older, a little wiser, a little luckier. So let's get on to the Knowledge Conference. This happened in April, mid-April, in Las Vegas. We were in Las Vegas a couple of years ago in 2013 at the Aria Hotel. And I was inspired to do this, as I mentioned, by Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, who is now a coworker of mine. He had heard me on a freestyle a couple of years ago say, hey, I think I've got the best job in the world, and he joined the team. And if you are interested in working for a software company and you think you've got what it takes to have the best job in the world, let me know. Reach out to me. Send me an email, chuck@chuckchat.com. Love to hear from you. So what he did, sounds like he had a good time. He sounds happy. I'm glad he's part of the team. Here's what happened to me. Just before Knowledge, I think it was March, I was getting prepared, and I noticed that there's always opportunities to pass out business cards, so I decided to check my stock of business cards. How am I doing? I still had quite a few left, although I forgot that I had quite a few left. I forgot where I put them after we moved in, but I did notice that I had had the wrong phone number on my business cards for the last year. Supposed to have the middle digits of 544, and my business card said 547. I am really curious as to who's been getting all of my calls for the last year and a half. I also have, I have that listed as my mobile number, and the office number has a Google number, which I suspect most people have been calling me on, or they know, or they look it up somewhere else. So apologies to the efficacy of my business cards. They are now corrected. I went to the conference with the correct cards and did not pass out nearly as many as I thought. Craig came out early. He joined. We had a plan of him flying from Charlotte to Phoenix, staying with me for a few days, and then we would drive up to Las Vegas for the conference, since it's within driving distance of about four and a half hours of my house. Unfortunately, at the time, my niece and her family, her husband and two kids and dog, and fish were in our guest house. We had originally anticipated they would stay with us for March while they looked for a house. It got into April, and they finally moved out in May while we were in Michigan. So we weren't there when they moved in. We weren't there when they moved out, but we were there for the whole other time. My intent was to get Craig into the guest house, but it was ocupado. So Craig slept in the studio. Coolest room in the hall. Darn estate. He got to sleep in the studio. We had a Friday night party for him before we went to the conference on Saturday. I think this would have been Friday the 15th, if memory serves. 15, 16, 17, 18, something like that. Now I don't remember. April seems like a decade ago already. We had Mike Menengay and Brian Brown and Tim Adamack and all kinds of people over and having a lot of good fun. The two people that were missing, of course, were Keith Lane and Ben Rangitin, who are frequent to Technorama, because they were already on a previous vacation that was planned out. So Saturday, Craig and I drive up to Las Vegas, and on our way, this is terrible. We lost cell phone signal. Not as terrible as you might think. So we couldn't play Spotify. We really didn't have a whole lot of selection among radio stations. So what does Chuck discover? Chuck discovers that he remembers in the armrest, we took the Toyota RAV4, remembers in the armrest that back in January, Chuck and Donna went to the Pro Bowl in Phoenix, where they watch this so-called American football game being played between select players from each team, the AFC League and the NFC League, and they pretend to play football, but nobody gets hurt because the next week is the Super Bowl, etc., etc. While we were on our way, walking from the parking lot to the stadium, we were accosted by a street vendor in a white suit, white pants, white blazer, and passing out CDs. He says, hey man, you want to buy my CD? My name's Salt. I said, no, no thanks, man. Maybe on the way back. And I was wearing my Green Bay Packers jersey, so was Donna. I had on a traditional Packers cheese head. So he made note of that. Hey, cheesehead, you want my music? No, no thank you. And I was trying to walk by politely, ask him, you know, do you have a website or anything I can take a look at? Well, the game went by, and Donna and I were walking out, and we ran into the same gentleman. And I said, let me take a look. And as soon as I took it, Donna shook her head and said, now you have to pay him. So I gave him $5 or $10 or whatever it is, and summarily threw it in the armrest and forgot about it until we were in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, and Craig and I needed something to listen to. So I said, hey, this ought to be entertaining. Let's listen to Salt. 19 tracks on this CD as we put it in. And it started out, yo, yo, get ready, 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 ready for Salt, 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 Salt. Mostly rap music. A lot of it was easy listening, I'll call it. And just about every track, this gentleman felt compelled to use his name in the song. And that got to be not only annoying, but then we turned it into something humorous. And knowing Craig and I, we had to do something like Mystery Science Theater and Weird Al Yankovic to this poor guy. And we started putting it on pause, so we'd hear lyrics like, he would say something like, sing lyrics, oh baby, you've got the sweetest eyes, and then we would put it on pause and say, let me put some salt on your fries. It became truly annoying. We didn't make it through all of each track. Oftentimes we would get a few lines into it and say, next track. Sometimes you got halfway through and said, okay, I've heard enough. That wasn't too bad. And other times we would just zip through the thing. We did make it through all 19 tracks, so we can seriously say that on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give the overall CD probably about a 4. It was worth the entertainment value for the money we paid. Fast forward a little bit into the conference. Craig and I are walking. Let me save that story for just a little bit. I know I'm jumping around. Anyway, we stopped at the Hoover Dam. We took a picture. The Hoover Dam is now complete. The last time we were there was in 2008 when the dam was there, obviously, but the bridge that goes next to it was still under construction at that time. So we stopped. We walked out onto the bridge. We took a picture. I think we posted it on Facebook or something and had a good time. I stayed in the same room as Craig. He was doing one function. His responsibility was to take care of the infrastructure that was needed for this conference. And it was a monumental task, had a few hiccups. He handled it quite well. My job was Sunday and Monday to do 2 days of pre-conference training. So our whole conference is Sunday and Monday is what we call pre-conference training. There were something like 51 courses going on, 51 classes of different courses. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is the actual conference with keynotes and labs and all that good stuff. And then Friday we had a new element called CreatorCon, sort of a mini convention after the convention, strictly for developers. You didn't get CIOs in there. You weren't getting directors and visionaries and all this kind of stuff. But it did overlap on Thursday afternoon. So I was still doing some of my labs on Thursday afternoon, technically when CreatorCon started. So missed some of the content and I was a little sore about that. Again, jumping around. We had planned to get some Technorama material at some point during this conference by going to the Pinball Museum. And we found out Saturday night when we got into town and got settled, when finally caught up with Dave Slusher, that he had already gone. I went, oh, darn, wish we would have known, we could have gone with you. As it turns out, and as I warned Craig, because I have been to this conference numerous times before, as an employee and as a customer, there is not a lot of time for socializing and outside activity. Saturday would have been it, except we had commitments Saturday afternoon to get there by a certain time for the pre-conference training, Saturday evening with employee dinners and whatnot. Sunday was a big mess. Monday was a big mess. There may have been an hour where we could have sneaked out. And since we had a vehicle, it may have worked. next year, maybe we'll try getting there a little earlier on Saturday and see what we can do, because we are going back to Vegas again next year. Tuesday night, there was all kinds of things going on. So we had Sunday training. We had a pool party one night. I think it was Wednesday was the big shindig where we were walking around a number of pools and huge venue at the Mandalay Bay. I think I mentioned 2 years ago we were at the Aria. Last year we were in San Francisco. This year was back at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas. Next year will be Mandalay Bay. So it'll be nice not having to learn our way around a convention center as it changes from year to year. Actually know where to go and offer help to people. It is a big place. We stayed in the Luxor, and it is a long walk from the Luxor to the Mandalay Bay. Crazy, crazy stuff. But as Dave was mentioning, it's really fun. It's a lot of work. I kid you not, it is at least 18 to 20 hours of work a day. You get up, you eat, you're working, you're talking to customers. After breakfast, it's right on to sessions and labs and helping in lab gurus and doing work. Quick break for lunch, maybe. Customer meetings and advisory panels, just on. Then dinner, then party, then social, then on. So I did run into Dave a few times. His voice was shot. Sometime between Friday night when he got there and Saturday night, he just lost his voice. Fortunately, the man was not presenting, so he didn't have a big liability there. He was helping out in a number of classes as what we call a lab guru. That's a technical assistant, so that the presenter can keep presenting while somebody raises their hand and says, oh, I didn't get step four to work on a 25-step program. Sounds kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous or something. But there were just these weird coincidences and discussions that went on between people. Standing in line Tuesday night, getting ready to go to the top of whatever it was, Mandalay Bay, there was one of our business partners for the business ecosystem was having a social get together, and I'm standing in line, and this lady says, oh, Chuck, being with the organization as long as I have and doing videos for the organization, people tend to recognize me, and I'm not always able to reciprocate. It's not an ego thing. I just can't. I'm working on names and faces. After a while, this woman started describing you. We met in October when you were at the Fruition convention in Chicago. Oh yes, now I remember. And it slowly came back to me. Well, we started having a discussion about pasties. And if you don't know what a pasty is, go Google it. Cornish pasty. It is kind of like a calzone, but not Italian ingredients inside of it. It's got ground beef and rutabagas and potatoes and things. And we just, this crazy discussion. Meanwhile, this gentleman next to us is saying, what's a pasty? And he's trying to look it up. And this other guy is just, it was a funny conversation just from stopping and saying hi to people or getting recognition. Another case was Craig and I were riding down the elevator. I think it was Sunday night after training. We took off our name badges. I was wearing a ServiceNow shirt. And the gentleman in the elevator said, hey, Chuck, again, I didn't recognize him. I think he's one of our partners. He said, how'd the move go? I said, great. He said, where'd you go? I said, Phoenix. Where are you from? Wisconsin. And as soon as I said Wisconsin, this man and woman couple in the corner of the elevator sort of perked up. And they said, Wisconsin? Where about? I said, Appleton. He said, are you Chuck Tomasi? I said, yes. And you are? He said, my name's Mike. This is my wife. We got introduced, said hi. He turns out he's my successor at my old employer. There's been a turnover and another turnover for that position, so he's the successor, if you will. Just weird, strange coincidences. We walked the strip with them. We went out and had dinner, and while we were about at our destination, it was me, Craig, our coworker Eric, and these two. So I think there were five of us in total. And we saw another street peddler handling for CDs. Sure enough, I think it was was Craig said hi, and Eric reminded him. He said, "Hey, didn't you need some music for the ride home?" I went, "Oh no, oh, if salt was bad, I can only imagine what we're gonna get out of Vegas." Picks up the CD, we throw it in the backpack and say, "All right, for entertainment value, we'll listen to this." It's Grand Slam Jimmy Grand was the guy's name. And if you remember the story of Salt, on the way back, we listened to Grand Slam Jimmy Grand. I was going to say Jimmy Jam, but it's not Jimmy Jam. Was what, part of The Time or Prince or something back in the 80s. Grand Slam Jimmy Grand was actually better. He was singing. He had better instruments, better vocal quality, better organization, and he didn't stick his name into every song. He was actually singing like religious rap music. And Craig does not get down with hip-hop, rap kind of stuff. I can appreciate it. I listen to it. I think it's fun. I think there's a time and place for just about every kind of music. And again, on my scale of 1 to 10, I'd give this one more a 6 or a 7 than a 3 or a 4. So anyway, where was I? Again, running into weird people. There are 9,000 people, almost 9,000 people at this conference, which is up from about 6,000 last year, which is up from 3,800 the year before. This thing just keeps growing. When I was a customer in 2010, there were 500 people at this conference. I think there were more in the men's room in 2015. And we're shooting to go up another, I think next year's target is 10,000? No, 9,000? What did I say, 9,000? It's something like 20, 25% growth every year. It's slowing down. It's not doubling, at least. But it's still growing fast. So, weird coincidence, again, walking between where were we staying? The Luxor. Walking between the Luxor and the Mandalay Bay, and we cross paths with, this guy says, "Hi, Chuck." And the first name that comes into my mind is Greg. I don't know why, but I know this guy's face. It's one of those, I know your face, and I swear I know your name. But it was one of those moments where they're out of context. Kind of like when you're a kid and you see your school teacher in the grocery store, because you're only supposed to see school teachers in the school. Like, there's some mysterious thing that says school teachers live at school. I'm sure we've all been at that when we were 5 or 6 years old. And hey, it's Mrs. Fassbender. You go to church? Well, this is one of those moments. Only now I'm not 5 years old. I'm 50 years old. And I see this guy, and the wires are just going bzz, bzz, you know, short-circuiting in my brain, trying to figure out. And he was walking one direction, and I was walking the other. And I said, "Hey, how are you enjoying the conference?" You know, trying to do that jovial, I can't remember right now, but I will in about 2 minutes thing. Sure enough, his name's Greg. I went on Facebook. I'm friends with the guy. He's from my high school class. I see him every 10 years at reunions, and that's why he's out of context. Greg is now working for one of our customers. How about that? Maybe I'll have a chance to see him every year instead of every 10 years. Didn't see him again? Too bad. I did see some of my former coworkers from my last employer who have moved on to other opportunities. They are very happy. They are now customers of ours. It was a lot of good fun. Also took a lot of selfies. I think I mentioned this before. As I get older, I am really starting to appreciate the fact that there are more days behind me than there are in front. I honestly don't think I'll make it to 100. I hope I do. I'll be really glad if I do. I'll be glad if I have all my faculties intact when I get to be that age. But selfies from not a vanity perspective, I was taking pictures with me and other people in them to appreciate those other people and the fact that I probably won't see these people often or maybe ever again. When you think about recent events of friends we've lost in the podcast community and around the area, and now we've moved, there's a lot of changes that are going on, and I want to capture moments with my coworkers, moments with my friends, moments with some customers who are very appreciative. "Hey, Chuck, love your videos that you do. Great. How'd you like to take a selfie?" It's sort of a low-key or low-grade a celebrity moment for some of them, and I'm happy to oblige, and I'm happy that they're getting value out of my work. And I want to remember that And even if I don't remember them again next year, we'll take another selfie. And they'll be happy. They say, oh, yeah, we met at the user group meeting in Phoenix in January. Oh, cool. Let's keep the tradition going. Take another selfie. I must have taken 150, maybe 200 selfies and missed probably an equal amount of opportunities. So I'm still learning to get that trigger going. And one of my goals for this, I didn't intend this, but it just sort of happened and worked out. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, one of my colleagues found a statistical site for Twitter and said, hey, you're in fourth place for using this particular hashtag. I went, fourth place? And I looked at who was in first and I looked at the count. The first was actually HP, one of our competitors. And I thought, well, they're just doing a robot marketing blast to try and say, hey, if you're unhappy with their product, try ours, that kind of thing. It was sort of an e-version of what was going on last year where we had pedicabs, those little bicycle cabs, and buses and signboards running around the convention center. Well, since nobody ever went outside, they had to try something internal. So HP was trying this marketing tactic. God bless them. I don't think it worked at all. But my mission was to outdo them on this statistical board. And I saw the difference and said, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to capture that. But I eventually did take first place for at least a few hours before somebody else came up and stepped up. So I think this is a rolling window of who posts how often in this frequency, whether it was 2 hours, 4 hours, 24 hours, I don't know. Because I just kept smashing out the selfies and the moments and the tweet messages from the keynotes and try to keep it up. I will give big kudos to the staff at the Mandalay Bay. The food staff, the wait staff was just awesome. When you go into breakfast or lunch, you're greeted almost like a cruise ship. There's this, or a wedding receiving line. People on both sides, on your right and on your left, about 15 feet apart, because there's a volume of people trying to get their breakfast. Remember, we're trying to feed 9,000 people at this conference in an orderly fashion. And this group had it down. Well, you're greeted with smiles, and of course they would glance at your name badge. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome to breakfast, Chuck. And you'd be like, wow. I know they're cheating by reading my name badge. If you read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, one of the most precious sounds to a person is their name. So if you can use their name, and they were using my name, it warms up that relationship. Well, it got to the point where after about the third or fourth day, I was glancing at their name badge, and I would call them back. Hey, Patricia, good to see you. And it also got to the point where I had my trademark bow tie with our company logo on it, and they recognized that, so they didn't even need to look at my badge anymore. They recognized the bow tie, because first few times, hey, I like the bow tie. Where's mine? When can I get one? That kind of thing. From the food wait staff, that they would recognize the bow tie, and I'd say, oh, hey, Patricia. And I'd start giving the women hugs and shaking the men's hands like I'm running for politician or something. It just became real fun. And that was one of those moments that made the conference even more special. It's all about the people, whether it's the customers, the partners, the vendors, or the wait staff. It made their job more enjoyable, which made my job more enjoyable, and it just worked both ways. As I mentioned, I got some of that recognition, and I can't say enough about the awesome testimonials. I love the videos you do. I learned so much from them, and at first, I didn't know how to respond to those. But the response I did come up with a couple of years ago was, thank you very much. First, when somebody says, I love your work, you thank them. Thank you very much. And the second part was, I'm glad you find this helpful. That's usually my standard response. Thank you very much. I'm glad you find it helpful. And maybe if you have any other ideas, I'd love to hear them. Because we're always looking for more content. The videos that are done seem to live on and on and on and on like anything else on the internet. So even though the stuff we did 2 years ago, people are still watching that and still appreciating it. However, Craig is now part of the scene. We did a live show. The video series is called Tech Now. And, which is really hard to say, Techno instead of Technorama, especially now that Craig is on the show, it makes it a very conscious thing. And the shtick at the beginning and end almost sounds the same. Makes it easy. I don't have to think of new words to say, I just need to fill in the blank. So Wednesday we had scheduled a live show at 2 p.m. from the Expo Hall, expecting a nice large audience. However, we didn't get as much as we thought. I think we had maybe six. Thinking, 9,000 people? What? They must really hate you or not care. Turns out most of the people that would have been on our target audience were still doing the labs and the seminars because there was a conflict. So we showed that it's successful, and hopefully next year we can do a more primetime spot, shall we say, without music blaring from a band in the background. We're sitting in the expo hall. We did a dry run on Tuesday, made sure the equipment worked, make sure we could broadcast, make sure that it was received, etc. Wednesday, getting set up, I got in there about, I don't know, 1:15 or something, setting up the microphones, the mixer, the camera, the speaker. I brought my own external Bluetooth speaker that was hardwired so that people sitting 5 feet away from us could hear us, and they could also see what's going on the external display. We're all set up. We're ready to produce. Craig says, I'm thirsty. So he walks over and he gets a cup of water. Now, here's the scene. We're sitting at this little round cocktail table. On the table is my laptop and the mixer. I have a small bottle of water. Craig has a cup of water, and he sets it right in front of my laptop because the laptop is in front of his seat. I'm in front of the mixer. Craig says, I probably shouldn't set this here. And those were fateful words, because a couple minutes later I realized I was logged in with the wrong account and I needed to reach over to my laptop to change the YouTube account from mine to the work account so that I could log in and we could do the hangout and broadcast and record and all that good stuff. Fateful last words. Just as I'm about to reach to my computer, Craig says, hang on, let me move that cup. And he didn't get to the word cup before it dumped water all over my keyboard. Now, payback is a bitch. Let me rewind back to 2007, Podcast Expo. We're doing a live Technorama from our room. I am in front of Craig's laptop with a beer. And sometime during the show, and we have captured this on video, the one at the Expo was not, or the one at our company conference was not captured, thank goodness. I had spilled beer all over his laptop. It went funny colors, died. And that was the end of it. And voices in the room all went, oh! Well, at work, the water went over the laptop, and I'm thinking, I hauled all this equipment, we rehearsed, we practiced, we got content, we're ready to go, and it's shot down at the last minute. I was frustrated, to say the least, but kept a civil tongue. We turned off the computer as fast as possible, dried it off as fast as possible, got things hooked up, got them back online, and honest to goodness, it worked. We were on the air 1 minute late, and nobody was the wiser when they watched that video. We had fun, we got through our presentation, and life went on. So, I don't know what computer gods were smiling that day, or how water on a MacBook Pro did not burn the thing out, but it was great. I was very happy about that. What else? Oh, one of the things I had to do was do a lab session, two of them, a kind of an introduction and an advanced session, or advanced and intermediate, however you want to think about it, about some technical best practices. And last year I'd done these sessions with Dave Slusher. He did a great job. He's a great stand-up man. What do you call him? Colorful commentary. We handed off the presentation. You do these slides, I'll do those. And we did something similar with my co-presenter this year from Australia. Originally he's from Argentina, but he lives in Australia, so he sounds Australian at this point. Only I don't think we ever co-presented in the past. Not that Dave and I did, but I sort of took it up another level. I get enthusiastic, I get juiced, I get jazzed. I am energized by presenting. You couldn't tell, could you? Listen to Technorama sometime. Well, I think I may have crossed a line because we were doing an advanced session and I was talking about synchronous versus asynchronous Ajax. And if you're not technical, I apologize about this, but this is how I explained it to some of the people in the, well, the some of the people, all the 300 that were there. And I said, if you're using synchronous Ajax, the browser makes a request from the server and the browser has to wait. You are held hostage. The conversation goes something like this. And I made this up on the fly, and I didn't realize what was coming out of my mouth until I had said it. And I said, the server goes, the browser says, hey, server, I need some information. And yes, I did the voice and the tonation like that in front of 300 people, and they looked at me like, what is this man smoking? And the server responds, just a minute, I'm in the bathroom. Because this was the only analogy I could think of on the fly about synchronous and asynchronous Ajax. And they laughed. I thought I crossed some line and I thought I'd be escorted out or never asked back to the conference again. We'll find out when we get to next year. Several people came up afterwards and said, that was very memorable. I will now keep those in, I will know when to use synchronous and when not to, and what the impact of using it is. It was memorable. I made a point. They got it. So, whatever it takes. That was kind of fun. I did not do any gambling. I was in Vegas. I'm not a big gambler. I know Dave earned a few dollars at the tables. But I didn't have time. And B, I don't have any compulsion to do that. Thursday night was a lot of fun. Thursday, the conference was officially over. And we were having the kickoff or the go live or whatever you want to call it, party for this kind of post-convention convention, the one-day creator, day-and-a-half creator con. And we had a party at the House of Blues. Wonderful band got up there. It was a Blues Brothers cover band. They looked like Jake and Elwood. They sounded like Jake and Elwood until you got real close. You know, and then you saw Jake's sideburns falling off sometimes because of the sweat. They danced well, they sang well, they knew a lot of songs, even outside of the Blues Brothers repertoire. They were taking some requests, of course, they were sort of directing some of those requests to things they knew, but it was a lot of fun. Had some drinks, had some dancing, and started talking to some people about Dragon Con, and the fun we had building the Santa Bot, and that whole story came out about how we shopped for things and built the things, and it was a lot of fun. But I think we got kicked out at 10 o'clock, just because the party ran from something like 6:30 to 10. We rented it for a while. And I wasn't done with my story. And I realized that I got this gathering of about 5 or 6 people that were intently listening to my story about Santa Bot and Dragon Con and parade and cosplay and all this good stuff. So we went outside into the sort of shopping area outside the House of Blues and finished the story. And more people gathered around. And then people came up and started taking selfies. And that got me thinking, I think there's one picture we have of about 18, 20 people all gathered around having a good time with while I was telling my story. And you know, with the usual flair and incantations and things. And that got me thinking about the free awkward hugs we did at Dragon Con. And that went into more stories and demonstrations of the awkward hugs. It was just a lot of fun. You're supposed to keep a certain level of professionalism. I was being social and still maintaining professionalism. But I wonder if I rubbed up against that border or fence a few times. It wasn't using profanity or anything, but it was fun, and I don't know if it was too familiar or too friendly at certain points, but we'll find out. Everybody there seemed to be having fun, and it was just a good get-together time. Then as I'm walking back from the House of Blues, which is on the Mandalay Bay side, You have to go up over this shopping bridge causeway thing and then down into the Luxor. I get stopped about 3 or 4 more times. It's getting pretty late, and I am tired, and I've got one more day of work to do on Friday. And then we have to drive back from Vegas to Phoenix. And I got stopped a couple more times, one to have a discussion with my previous boss, who happened to be out there. He's still working for the company, but he's moved to a different position. We had a discussion. Then I got stopped by another couple of guys for more selfies and, hey, let's talk for a while. It was a lot of fun. I was also, one of the other things that I look for when I go to a conference like this, and I encourage the other people, customers and vendors and whatnot, there are job opportunities to be had. So I was looking for, you know, what's the market look like? What's interesting? What's going on? And if I have my radar on, it's been a year and a half or so since I moved into this position. So it never hurts to keep your eye out if anybody's interested in having me on their team, or if I'm interested, I'll talk to somebody on that team and say, what are you looking for? This is not frowned upon by any means in our organization. If you did this every 2 weeks, it would be. But 18 months to 2 years, it may be time for a new position in the organization. Because we don't want people getting stale. We don't want them. We want people to be challenged and grow and add value, et cetera, et cetera. So I was out there and had some very good discussions about that. Craig and I came back on Friday. As we mentioned, we listened to Grand Slam Jimmy Grand. True to form, we started thinking about, hey, maybe we should start another podcast. We could get street vendors. Maybe they'll donate. Maybe we give them a couple of bucks. And we'll rate their CDs. We'll even play some songs. And kind of do like Michael Butler does as he rates a new album. You know, this one stinks. Let's go on to the next one. Hey, that one's not too bad. Sort of talk along as we're listening to this thing. Of course, neither of us have any bandwidth to do something like that at this point in our lives. So that idea is parked. But it would be fun. You'd get some independent music. You'd get exposed to new things. You never know what you're going to get. Everything is going to be a surprise. And the street musician can feel good knowing they're getting some exposure as well. Hey, if you're in Vegas and you're looking for some Christian hip-hop music, seek out Grand Slam Jimmy Grand. He's located near the MGM Grand. By coincidence, I don't know. He may have moved since we recorded this. Craig and I also spent some time when we got back to Phoenix to record a YouTube video. We've got a Technorama podcast channel that we have been posting all of our live hangouts to for the last few years. But we didn't realize there's a tab on there that says Introduction. So somebody who is not familiar with Technorama can click on this little 1 or 2 minute preview. So we put something together. I'd worked on a script before Craig got there, and then we recorded it, and I edited it a couple weeks later. It is now live up there. We also did an outtake reel, which is about the same length as the video itself. I have not posted that one yet, but I will get to that soon. So I feel like check that one off the list. We tried whatever we could while we were together, because we only get together a couple times a year. And since we had the advantage of being in the studio, we wanted to get the high-quality audio and somewhat quality video that we can afford to get. Sunday night, then we did our 10th anniversary show. May 1st was our 10th anniversary for Technorama. My podcasting extends a little bit before that, but Technorama was launched on May 1st, and then Craig came on about episode 5 or 6, I think it was. I don't even think we have those early shows anymore. But wait, I take that back. I will look, because I recently just archived a whole bunch of CD content, pictures, and audio and video onto a hard drive. And I don't have that hard drive with me at the moment. But I am going to look, because I may have some of those old missing episodes. They were on CDs and DVDs. Ooh. Have to think about that. We had Jack Mangan, Mike Meningay, Brian Brown, who else was there? And Craig. So there were four filling out the 4 seats in the studio. Donna ran video. It was mostly a listener feedback show. We did not have a lot of regular content, and it was pretty much an hour long of fun and celebration, and it was good to have Craig in the studio It was fun to do that. And then Craig got on his plane Monday noonish, whatever it was, and Donna and I got in the RAV4 and started driving across country to Michigan and Wisconsin, which I will talk about next time because this is probably one of the longest freestyles I have done in ages. So with that, let me find my out music. There we go. Thank you for joining. If you want to get in touch with me or have comments, chuck at chuckchat.com. Love to talk to you. And until next time, bye!